salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you'll fill us with that Holy Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead. Help us, Lord, to worship you in that newness of life. May we be strengthened in the new man today. May this church as a whole have its hands strengthened toward the good work that you've called us to do. And Lord, go before us and open doors in the lives of these people and these communities, Lord, in these homes, that we can go and reach them with the gospel of Christ. This morning, as we're on the radio, we pray, God, that you'll bless Brother Jack and use him today, Lord. We pray that you'll just guide him, Lord, and Father, to be a blessing to your people, those that are shut in, those that need to be in church. May they receive some encouragement to get in church. Those that have never been saved, Lord, may they hear something about Jesus today that would help them to realize he's the way, he's the light. And Lord, may they look to him for salvation before it's too late. God, we pray you'll fill him with the Holy Spirit and guide him with your wisdom and bless the adult class. And then, Lord, each teacher that stands this morning, we pray that you'll give them patience. Lord, give them utterance to speak. Lord, may the young people have a heart to receive today. May they hear something that will provoke them to good works in a way that will cause them to avoid a life of sin and also to commit their way unto thee. Lord, we pray that you'll just guide them. If there's some that are unsaved, Lord, listening today, God, may they understand the simplicity that's in the message of the gospel and how easy it is to receive eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we thank you for that free gift. And Lord, we pray today that we would see them saved. God, we pray that you'll bless our country, continue to have mercy upon America. Bless our leaders, God. Give them wisdom that they don't have naturally. God, that we as families would lead a peaceable and quiet life down here and serve you in your will. Help us to be opportunistic with all the freedoms and opportunities that we have. God, we pray for Israel, and we pray for the missionaries this morning. I ask you to send forth more laborers into the harvest. Lord, bless those that are there working right now, those that are going up and down this country, going from church to church, trying to get Christians and churches to fellowship with them, to get them to those countries you called them to go. And Lord, we pray for Brother Allen this morning as they're traveling there in Texas. Ask you to bless them and the churches that they have to present themselves in. And bless Brother Allen to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be fresh in his body and fresh in his mind. And Lord, help him to be an encouragement to those churches. Bless his family, Lord. Thank you for them. Bless Brother Andy, Lord, and his track and his attempt to spread the gospel, Lord, to people that have never heard in Nepal. Keep him and Joy and their children safe, and continue to just help them, Lord God, to be effective towards the cause of Christ, and thank you for him. Lord God, I thank you for these that are here this morning, and I pray that you'll unite our hearts and minds together, that you'll be pleased in this fellowship. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, young people can head to your classes, and Brother Jack's going to take care of the adult class this morning, as usual. All right, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're down to verse 19. Verse 18 and verse 19. We'll start in verse 18. The Bible says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." And the reason he's saying that is because in verse 17 he's telling you need to suffer. And the reason you need to suffer is because God did, because Christ did on the cross. And the reason you need to suffer when you're doing good is because Christ suffered when he was doing good. And so he gave us an example. That's in verse 18. "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Talking about the resurrection, and he was quickened by the Spirit. "By which also," talking about the Spirit, "by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few," that is, eight souls, "were saved by water." Now, there is a lot packed into those two verses right there. "By which also," talking about the Spirit, "he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Now, what does that mean? He went and preached to the spirits that were in prison.
That's not just a prison ministry. That's not what that's talking about. That's not talking about what Brother Ron, Sister Katie, and Judd and these ladies do here at the church. This ain't what he's talking about. And the best thing to do when you get a verse like this and you're looking at it and you're thinking, now what in the world does that right there mean? By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And when you look at it, you think, you know, you got to get the context. The context is what? What's the context? Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So he was put to death, he was quickened by the Spirit. That's talking about the crucifixion. And so during this time, by the Spirit, he also went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So during the crucifixion, there's a lot went on, but one other thing that went on was Jesus Christ had a revival. He went and preached. He didn't really have a revival. He was just preaching people's fate. And these spirits here. So what you want to do is you want to say, okay, what we got here? And you want to do and talk about some things that you know. What are some things that we know in this? All right, number one, we know this. We know he preached to spirits in prison when he died on the cross. So we know that much. And we know it couldn't be a real prison because it was when he was dead. All right, and he went by the Spirit. So now we know that much. We know that he preached to spirits in prison and he died on the cross and it couldn't be a real prison. Now, what else do we know? We know these spirits were disobedient. Look in verse 20. He says, which sometime were disobedient. Talking about those spirits, all right? So we know that much. We know these spirits were disobedient. They're in prison and it's not a real prison, not a regular prison, all right? And when did this happen? When did this happen? We also know this. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So this happened during the days of Noah, this disobedience. And so we know this much, just out of this verse, just by looking at it before we go anywhere else, we know that Christ, when he died on the cross, he was by the Spirit, he preached unto some spirits in prison, and that we know that they were disobedient spirits, and we know that they were during the days of Noah. Now, what you need to do from that point there is you need to go try to figure out what all's going on. And we can go by different places in the Bible. Now, what we've been talking about here, we've been talking about these different themes in the Bible. We've been talking about suffering for the Lord. And we've been talking about submission and all this stuff. And people talk about doctrine's dry and practical stuff is good for you, emotional. People like practical stuff. But after we've talked about suffering for so long, you know, it's good to hit some doctrine. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, some doctrine. How many of you ever heard of people say, boy, you just get in the Bible, and you want to talk about some stuff that Hollywood ain't never hit. You'll find it in the Bible. You ever heard that? Yeah, I've heard that too. Not one person raised your hand. Nobody's ever heard that. I've heard that. Nathan, you ever heard that? There's wild stuff in the Bible better than Hollywood? Okay. All right, so there's wild stuff in the Bible. Now, I'm going to show you some stuff today. This is wild. This is wild. And when you get into it and you start looking at it, you start thinking, man, this is a wild book. Now, when we look at the Bible, everything that we interpret in the Bible, we interpret through us. I mean, our life, where we're at in our life. I mean, to show you how insignificant we are, I mean, you could go from this town and go to just the next county over. And, I mean, you're going to meet 20,000 people who don't even know who you are. Just one county over, or one county down to Morgan County, or maybe over to Campbell County, or maybe you go to McCrary County. I mean, all of a sudden you've got 100,000 people that don't even know who you are. Go to a UT football game. You got 100,000 people that don't even know who you are. Look how insignificant we are. And then when you take that, I was listening to a guy talking about God and how big God is and how little we are. And he was showing, he got a golf ball out and he said, now look at this golf ball. Now look how little this golf ball is. He said, now if this was the earth, this golf ball, he said, where would you be at on that golf ball? And he was trying, you can't even point it out with a Sharpie pen. You couldn't even touch. The mark would swallow you up. You couldn't even tell where you were at on that golf ball. Now to show you how insignificant you are, if the earth was a golf ball, and you look at the sun's a star, and how big the sun is compared to the earth. Now, if the earth was a golf ball, and you took the golf ball, and you put it at the bottom of the Empire State Building, and set it down,
and you stood back and you looked at the Empire State Building and you looked at the golf ball, that's Earth compared to the sun. All right? Now you look at get on top of that Empire State Building and you look down at that golf ball, if you could even see it, and you probably couldn't, and then try to find yourself on that golf ball. That's how insignificant we are. Everything we do, though, we think the world revolves around us. Now, if you take the second biggest star in our galaxy, and if the Earth was a golf ball, and you take that golf ball, and you put it at the end of the Golden Gate Bridge, and then you step back, and you go on one side of the Golden Gate Bridge. But actually, it's two Golden Gate Bridges. That's the difference in size of just that second star compared to the Earth. And try to look across that Golden Gate Bridge and try to see that golf ball and then try to find yourself on that golf ball. That's how big we are. You know, when we stand around, we're going to tell God how He needs to run the world. And we look, and that's how insignificant we are. Now, you take the biggest star in our galaxy. If the Earth was a golf ball, and you take that golf ball and you put it on in the size of Texas, all right? You know how many golf balls would fill up the size of Texas if that was the star? You know how many Earths that you can put in the biggest star in our galaxy? You could fill Texas up, golf ball to golf ball, touching the ground, 22 inches high. That's how big that star is compared to the Earth. Now, you just fly over top of Texas and find one golf ball down there in the middle of Texas, and then try to find yourself on that golf ball. That's how small we are. That's how small we are. And we're going to stand back and say, God, this is what you need to do, and you're messing up here, God, and you're messing up there. Now let me tell you this, how small we are. That's three stars. Just three. They say that in the next galaxy over, there's 300 billion stars. And God's outside of that, and He made them. And the Bible says, and He made the stars also. And this is us. That's us. We are so big, ain't we? We think, God, you just don't know what you're doing, and you just need to do this. That's us. There is so much more to this Bible, and there's so much more of what's going on than what we realize. Everything that we do revolves around us and what I'm called to do and what I'm doing, and we can get swallowed up in Scott County. I don't know about going to the county over. You know how many people in Scott County that don't know you? How many people in Helenwood that don't know you? We are nothing. And we think we are so big. And when I say we, I mean we, me. I mean, we sit here and we think we got it all figured out. We think our opinions matter. We got an opinion. You know, I'm just going to write in and I'm going to put my little opinion at the end of this email here or this site, this article on this website, and you can put your opinion down there. What a joke. We are so insignificant, so much of a nothing. It ain't even funny. And then we look at the Bible and we think everything in this Bible is about us. Now we sit here and look at this one verse here. There's so much more going on in this Bible than what we even realize. Now we know this. We know He preached to the spirits. We know these spirits were disobedient. They were around in the days of Noah. And we know it wasn't a real prison. Well, what kind of a prison was it then? Well, let's look over at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we'll look at what Jesus Christ was doing. Matthew chapter 12. Now, these words here, God makes, when you think about how insignificant we are and how dumb we are, even though we think we're smart, how little we know, it's good that God puts us down in the Word, ain't it? And makes it simple for us. He just makes things so simple. It's like Winnie the Pooh said. He said, I like going to Rabbit's house because he talks and says real easy words like, let's eat lunch. And that's Winnie the Pooh. That's the way we are. We like this Bible because why? Because God puts things real simple for us. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, where did He go? Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 40. The Bible says this, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So when Jesus Christ died, where'd He go? He went to the heart of the earth. That's where He went, the heart of the earth. Now look over and get Go to the book of Jonah. Go get the book of Jonah. Over to your left, just a few pages there at the end of the Old Testament. So, Jesus Christ dying on the cross was illustrated by Jonah and the story of Jonah and the whale. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Now, you know the story of Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. He said, I ain't going to Nineveh to preach. And God said, okay, you're going to get swallowed by a whale. Look at verse 17, Jonah 1:17. He says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. All right, so now Jonah's down here in this belly of this fish. And we know that it's a whale according to Matthew chapter 12. Chapter 2, he says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardst my voice. So it's called hell. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head, about my head. So he's down in this whale's belly, along with all this other stuff. And when he's down there, he dies. And when he's down there and he dies, he goes somewhere. Look down here in verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought me up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted in me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, when you look at this right here, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was talking about where he was at, and it was the resurrection. Jonah and the whale is a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And while Jonah was in that whale's belly, just like Jesus Christ went to the heart of the earth, Jonah did. And down there in that earth, there were some bars there. Look back at verse 6. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Now, we know that hell's got bars, and we know that hell's got gates. In Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says that the gates of hell is not going to prevail against Jesus Christ. And so we know it's got gates and it's got bars. That's hell, all right? So this prison down here is down here inside the earth. That's where Jesus Christ went. So we know that this prison where he preached, it had to be where he went when he died, and he went to hell when he died. And so that's what's down there. That's where he's at. He's in this prison. This prison that he's talking about is down here in hell. So now the question is, who's down there? Who's he preaching to? Who are these spirits? Who are these spirits down here? Now we also know that Jesus Christ went to hell. Look over at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and get Psalm 16. Get Psalm 16, get Acts chapter 2. Psalm 16, Psalm of David. And here David's giving his psalm, but he's prophesying. Look down in verse 8. Psalm 16, verse 8. He says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. All right, now what he says right there, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And he's prophesying there about Jesus Christ. Now how do we know he's prophesying about Jesus Christ? Look over to Acts chapter 2. Get Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. The Bible says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Talking about the death, burial, and resurrection. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw saw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Now that should sound familiar. That's what we just read in Psalm. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So over there in Psalm chapter 16, 8 through 10, he's prophesying about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, search the Scriptures. For in them you have eternal life, and there they that testify of me. All right, so here you find out that Jesus Christ went and preached to some spirits in prison, and when he was when he died at this thing, he went to hell. And we see this hell here has got bars. It's inside the heart of the earth. There's bars, and in Matthew chapter 16, there's a gate to hell. Now, so you see that. Look over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. One other place here where we're going to find out where we've seen that he descended. Get Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Ephesians 4, 7. He says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. All right? Now, what's the point here is in verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended. Verse 9, he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he went to the heart of the earth. And we see that in Acts chapter 2. We see it in Psalm 16. We see it here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look over at Psalm 68. Get Psalm 68. A guy says, why do you go to so many verses? Because when you're proving something out of the Bible, people tend not to listen to the Bible. They tend to listen to tradition. They tend to be listening to what they've been told. And the good thing is to show it over and over and over and over so you can get the idea that that's really what it is. Get Psalm 68. Psalm 68, look down in verse 14. The Bible says, when the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow in Salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God, 20,000, even thousands of angels, the Lord is among them, as in Sinai in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. So see there, he ascended on high. He led captivity captive. You say, what is that? When Old Testament saints died, they went to the bosom of Abraham. And when Abraham was there, and the rich man in Luke chapter 16, what he saw was, would be like this side right here. There was a great gulf fixed in between. One side you had these Old Testament saints, the other side you had this compartment of hell. And when Jesus Christ went down and he preached down here, he preached to the side that was in hell. I'm not just saying y'all are in hell. It's the illustration. It's the illustration. Y'all, don't worry. Brother Dilbert's on your side. And so he preached. I guess that's a good thing. Brother Dilbert's on. He preached on this side over here. And so he grabs this side right here and he takes them to heaven. He takes that whole compartment and takes them to heaven. And so that's what you got down there in hell, all right? And he ascended on high and took captivity captive. Now, that's what he did there when he died on the cross.
Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 4, chapter 2. Get 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, who are these spirits? Who are these spirits that he preached to? Now, we know this about these spirits, all right? They were disobedient, right? We saw that. We know they were disobedient. And we know they were around when? In Noah's time. Okay, so we know that much. Nobody's reading nothing into anything. So in 2 Peter, you get 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah." So now look at that connection right there. You see what's going on? That's the same time. "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." All right, so now we know that you've got these spirits here, but here in chapter, in verse 4, he calls them angels. He calls them angels. Look over and get Hebrews 1. Get Hebrews 1. Are they angels or spirits? Get Hebrews 1. Angels and spirits can be the same thing. Hebrews 1:7. Just a little to your left there. Hebrews 1:7. Look at verse 5. He says, "For unto which..." Let's start in verse 5. Hebrews 1:5. "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire." So his angels are spirits, and maketh angels spirits there in Hebrews 1:7. So we're still good to go here. Same time frame, these spirits, they're angels. Now, what angels are these? These are creations of God. When you're a creation of God, you're called the Son of God. Jesus Christ was called the Son of God. You know who else was called the Son of God? Adam. Adam's called the Son of God. He's the Son of God. Now, so these creations that they have, they're called the Son of God. Now, you've got these angels. Now, we know that hell, that's where Jesus Christ went. And here in verse 4 in 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So these angels that sinned, he cast them into hell. And the Bible says over there in Matthew chapter 12, I believe it's chapter 12, he says that, Matthew 25:41, he says, "Depart from me, you cursed, in everlasting fire, prepared for who? The devil and his angels." So the devil's angels, that's who's down there in hell. All right, look over in Job. Get Job chapter 38. Job chapter 38. Now we know that the devil's not an angel. The devil's a cherub, according to Ezekiel chapter 28. And it has to do with music, Ezekiel chapter 28. But now let's go over here to Job. To Job. Get Job chapter 38 and see what was happening here. Job is, you know, here's Job, who's Mr. Insignificant. Mr. Insignificant, that's the last guy that's in the draft, in the NFL draft. The very last guy that's drafted in the NFL draft, they're called Mr. Insignificant. No, it's not insignificant, is it? Something else. Means insignificant. Irrelevant. Mr. Irrelevant. All right, here's Job, who thinks that he's relevant, that he matters. And we're sitting here, you're looking at the God of the universe, and I sit here and was showing you how many Earths would fit in just one star, the biggest star in our galaxy, and how insignificant we are. Job's sitting here, and he's mouthing off to God. And God begins to talk to Job in verse 1, Job 38:1. He says, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof?" Now look what he says here in verse 7. "When the morning stars," these stars are angels, "when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." So you had these sons of God up there in heaven. All right, now look over in Job chapter 1. Something's happened since that time. Something's going on here. Look at Job chapter 1. And God's talking back. He's saying, look back behind us. Look what was going on back here. Now, when you go to Job chapter 1, these sons of God here, in Job chapter 1, verse 6, they've not got any, they don't have very good company. Job chapter 1, verse 6, look what's going on. Job 1, verse 6, the Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them." So the company there is not very good. Look over in Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. Look at verse 1. It says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present themselves before the Lord." So it looks like these sons of God here are with Satan. Now, when you get here and you look at these sons of God, they sinned, all right? They sinned. When did they sin? Sometime during the days of Noah, right? Something happened. And these angels are spirits. And these angels, the Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, let's look over in Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, starting verse 1. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose." Now, you think about that. The sons of God. The sons of God are up there presenting themselves in front of God. All right? So they're in the spirit world. So they're up there, and these sons of God are leaving, and they're going down here with these women, regular women on the earth. Look over. Hold your place here and go to Jude. Go to Jude. In Jude chapter 6, now look at this. Talking about this judgment. In Jude verse 6, I might have said chapter 6. Verse 6, Jude verse 6. It says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So now here's these angels again that's reserved unto judgment. And in the last day, so it's these same angels. And something you learn right here about these angels, what they do? They left their first estate. They left their own habitation. Now, these sons of God that's in Job, where was their habitation at? Their habitation was up there where God's at. They've left their first estate. They've left their own habitation. Why did they do that? Because they thought them women was pretty. That's why they did it. Verse 2. "That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, that the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." So you've got these sons of God, these angels, that leave their own habitation. They're down here, and God's got them inside this compartment down here called hell and the earth. But before they're down there, they sinned. All right? They go into these daughters of men. Well, what happened? There were giants. They were giants. That's what happened. So you've got these spirits that are marrying regular women, and they're having giants. Now, I've read accounts, documented accounts, where they found a skeleton inside a tower. They had dug this tower up, and they'd found inside this tower, in this compartment, a full-scale skeleton of somebody that was laying there that had died. They'd put them inside this tower, and this skeleton was 30 feet tall. 30 feet tall. Now,
The Bible talks about Goliath was probably 9'9". But this ain't talking about Goliath. It may have been some descendants. But I can tell you this, these people right here, they were really big giants. And there's these skeletons that's been found. I mean, we're talking about, yeah, there's dinosaurs and all this other stuff. I wonder why nobody ever makes no big deal about these big skeletons like this. That's huge. That's huge. And so this is what's went on. And we sit here and we think about this whole world revolving around us. And you've got a spirit world that's out there that's going on. When we're sitting here praying, what's going on? When Brother Dilbert says here, talks about spiritual warfare, we're like, yeah. But you go read the book of Daniel, and Daniel's praying. And his prayer is held up for 21 days because these angels are fighting in the spirit world. He says, I was held up. I was held up. Ain't there a movie just came out called The Prince of Persia? Gabriel was held up because of why? Because of Prince of Persia. They're battling. That's why his prayer took 21 days to get to him. Now, we're not as important as Daniel, so I don't think we got to worry about it. Our little prayers, you know, about whether or not we're going to pay our electric bill, that's not that big a deal, as big a prayer as Daniel was. But you know what Daniel did? Daniel had a vision. And in this vision, he tells about everything's going to happen in the rest of the world. And when you get down here at the end of this thing, when Jesus Christ is going to come back and set up his kingdom, you know what it says? It says that who's going to be the rulers at that time? They're talking about these 10 kings. And it's talking about them being mixed. Mixed. These 10 kings are going to be mixed, almost like Genesis chapter 6. Like they're doing it again. And it seems to me, I remember that the Bible says at the second coming, as in the days of Noah, it's going to be that way today. Now I'm just telling you, when you start reading this Bible and you start getting in the middle of it, start looking at what's going to happen, what is happening, not only are we insignificant, but Hollywood ain't got nothing about what's going on. Now let me show you some other stuff here. Oh, this is fun. This is a lot funner than talking about suffering, ain't it? Let's get John chapter 8. Get John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And get 1 John chapter 3. John chapter 8, and then also get Genesis chapter 3. So, now just to wrap up the other story there, those spirits there are these angels that fell. And what Christ did when he died on the cross, God put all these sins on him. When he ascended up on high, he didn't have no sin at that point right there. He dumped all those sins down there in hell. Not only those sins, but our sins. Every sin. Sin was put on Christ on the cross. He went to the heart of the earth. He preached to those angels and everything else that was down there and said, basically, your fate's sealed, buddy, till judgment day. Too bad. And then he takes the keys of death and hell, and he takes captivity captive, and he goes to heaven. So all those Old Testament saints there. Then not only that, there's, according to Matthew, there's some saints that come up from the grave and started walking around talking to people. People that was died by. I mean, you're looking at Joshua back in the Old Testament. He comes up from the grave. And he's walking around. Just like we were. Could you imagine a graveyard over there? People just come up and come walking around. Say, hey, how you doing? Golly. You got a chiropractor around here anywhere? That's wild stuff. That's what's going on. All right. That's what happened there at the crucifixion. Now, these angels, They've gotten with these women. Look over and get your place there in John 8. Get 1 John. Let's go to Genesis. Start with Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. All right. Genesis chapter 3. Let's read something here. And we've read this a million times. Genesis 3. Look at verse 15. He says, and I will put enmity between thee. Let's back up and find out who he's talking to. This is where the devil beguiles Eve, all right? Look at Genesis chapter 3, and let's start in verse 12. It says, and the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman,
what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast, so he's talking to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. All right? Enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. Who's he talking to? So the devil's got what? Seed. All right? I'm just saying. Okay? I'm just saying. He's got a seed. And her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so the woman has a seed, and Satan has a seed. All right? Now look in chapter 4, verse 1. Now, any time in the Bible, what it says is that so-and-so will know so-and-so. It means they have sexual relations and they have a kid. Now, look here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. All right. One conception, two births. Looks like they're twins. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. All right, now, over in Germany, documented evidence. I'm just saying, documented evidence. I'm just saying. There's a woman over there has twins. They do a test to find out who the dad is. Guess what? Two dads. Two different dads. Documented medical evidence. All right? So this lady there in Germany has had sex relations with two different people. Has twins, and there's two different fathers. I'm just saying. I ain't saying that, you know, that Eve got with the devil. I'm just saying. Let's look over at 1 John. Let's just look over at John. All right, now, anytime you get a genealogy in the Bible, you say it says so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. You're of somebody. If that's who your father is, you're of somebody. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Well, let's go to John chapter 8 first. This is so fun. The Bible is so fun. John chapter 8. You got all these people here giving the Lord a hard time. Look what he says to them. John chapter 8. Look in verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Look what he says in verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a murderer. Where'd the devil ever kill anybody at in the beginning? Now let's look over here in John, 1 John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we're talking about love here. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 11. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. So Cain, the Bible says, is of the wicked one. Now you've got these spirits that fall, and they have relations with women on the earth, and they have kids. I'm just saying, this Bible is wild. And what it looks like, I'm just saying, what it looks like is that there's a whole lot more went on in the garden than what meets the eye. And we know this. Here's what we know. We know the Bible says Cain's of the wicked one. We know that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And we know that the devil's got a seed. And we know that spirits came from heaven and married these daughters of men, had sexual relations, had children. We know that much. Now you're saying, Brother Jack, you don't know if Cain was
I'm just saying. That's what we know. And when you get the Bible out and you start looking at what you know, that you nobody's got to read nothing into it. That's what you know. This Bible's wild, ain't it?
This is crazy. This is better than Hollywood. It's better than Hollywood. Now, that's what's going to happen in the days of Noah. It's going to happen again. That's just going to happen. The days of Noah, just like the days of Noah, that's what's going to happen again during our time. And go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3, verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The next time you read that verse right there, it's going to mean a little bit more to you. Now, here's what I tell you to do. What you need to do is you need to get in there and study this out. You say, Brother Jack, I don't believe words you just said. I don't care. I don't know what I believe. But I know this much. There are spirits that left their own habitation, came to this earth, had relations with women, and had kids. And I know the Bible says that Cain was of the wicked one. I know that the Bible says that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And I know that the Bible says that... what was I going to say? But I know it says it. Bible says he was a murderer from the beginning, and that the devil has a seed. The devil has a seed. And when you look at Judas Iscariot, and you look at Cain, and you look at what all goes on in this world, look over in Hebrews. Get the book of Hebrews. There's so many things are so wild in this Bible. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 1. Hebrews 13:1. The Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Why? Why? For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Ain't that wild? According to the Bible, we've entertained angels and didn't even know it. You better make sure who your daughters are marrying. You better watch out. Maybe like old Melchizedek, don't know who their mom and dad are. Oh, well, all right, let's take a break.